Welcome to the Change Your World Women's Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you Barney Kramer. Barney, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. It's a delight to be a part of your summit today. My topic today is about the power of a why vision. And I'd like you to imagine what it would be like if you started a business and had 20/20 foresight. Wind up that imagination. If you had 20/20 foresight, let's look at what it would be like when you started a business. First of all, you'd have a perfect business plan. You'd have a strategic business plan that encompassed everything necessary for your success. It would detail out every facet of your idea, from the operations to the marketing to the sales to yada, yada, yada. It would have a great culture. You would know exactly the culture you wanted to build, who was the right fit for your executive team, and had the right skill sets and experience to lead your organization. Well, already it's beginning to look like a gorgeous dream. Not one I've ever experienced, but certainly one that would be wild to experience. The strategy you would have and strategy would be about understanding your market so well that you knew exactly how to design your product or service in such a way that it was a perfect fit for your prospective clients. Your messaging would ring the bell with everyone who could benefit from what you have to offer. Resistance would be a thing of the past. Everyone would understand exactly what you meant and why it would be the right fit for them. Your price point would be spot on, and your margins would be sufficient to deliver a good and fair profit to you. And in turn, you'd be able to grow and expand your business commensurate with the ability to deliver the goods and services. It's already starting to sound like a heck of a fantasy world, I'm sure. You'd also be able to hire some really great talent. And the talent would be the kind of thing that most of us can only dream about. And that's what we're doing here, is dreaming about it and looking at a way to bring that about. They would not only have the perfect skills for the positions you're hiring for, but they would be a fit for the values and culture of your organization. They would embrace your vision, whatever that might be, and they wouldn't be able to wait to attack work each day in order to fulfill their role in bringing the best product and services possible to your marketplace. Their ambitions would be a vital part of the greater good. And how many of us have hired employees that had that sort of a mindset? My guess is not many, if any. Loyalty and service would be another plus for them, and they would guide that, and your business would be the guiding lights for their work life and careers. And a couple more pieces for this imagination. As external circumstances changed, the competition grew. Regulatory challenges impacted your efforts, and technology changed the world, you'd be able to meet each and every single one of these without flinching. Your 20/20 foresight would always be a step ahead of each challenge, and the challenges would be nothing but mere bumps in the road of destiny for you. Greater and greater success would be around every single turn of the road. And last but not least, as long as we're imagining, you would be highly profitable right from the start. The profits would grow and grow over time and become so large you had to bring an accounting firm in just to manage your philanthropic efforts. I actually know of a business in our general community who has, I think it's 8 or 10 CPAs to manage exactly that, and that's mind-boggling to me. You'd become a pillar of society and vacation in all the right spots with all the right people, and the world would hang on your every word. You'd be able to achieve all your dreams regardless of what they are, just as if you had your own genie. Hey, if we're going to indulge in fantasy, let's get serious about it. Boy, what a fantasy to indulge in. Far removed from the reality of what most of us go through in the business world today. But you know, it doesn't mean that you can't take some major steps towards having a very successful business and a business life. I mean, that's a tough slog for any of us, and I think it's important to find a key to doing exactly that. And I believe that starts with what I call a why vision. And so we're going to talk about what that why vision means and why it's such a great driver and such a great motivator for any of us that dare to challenge the business world today. A why vision is a vision, and I'm going to read you my definition of it. It's a statement, vision that states or applies the benefits to the intended recipient within the vision statement. A why vision is timeless, it's motivational, and it's inspirational. And it's also a little more challenging than you might think, but you'd be surprised at the variety of why visions that exist in our world. And quite frankly, the companies that are, many of those companies are still around today. And we're going to talk about the struggles that they went through and how that why vision pulled them through the whole process. People can be genuinely inspired if their organization has a compelling why vision and a clear, worthwhile mission, and they can be powerfully expressed in well-crafted mission and vision statements. So let's imagine what going to work each day would be like if we were full of purpose and conviction, if you strongly believed in your organization's values and were passionately committed to its vision. Because you understand the good that your organization does in the world, you love what you do. Hopefully some of you have had that experience in your lifetime. To be candid about it, I'm having my own why vision experience right now as I've coming to the later, well, I hope they're not the last years of my life, but certainly the later years of my life. You're happy to come into the office. You put your heart and soul into work because you know it matters. I know that each and every day I get a chance to touch someone's life and to make a difference. People can be really, really motivated when a vision is clearly expressed and communicated. An entire organization can be empowered and excited if the vision is a powerful one, and that's what we're going to be after today. If you get it right, the vendors will go the extra mile to help you get it right. They'll go out of their way when times are tough, and maybe the bills are a little piling up and you've had some unexpected challenges, the roof leaked and you didn't expect that, and you can make your own list up of the difficulties that we can have in a business, some expected and some unexpected. But you'll be amazed how many of them will work with you when that happens, if you have that vision. So let's talk a little bit about what they really mean. The statements, mission and vision statements, are actually words that leaders use to explain an organization's purpose and direction. When they're expressed clearly and concisely, they can motivate your team or the organization as a whole with an inspiring vision of the future. They're often confusing, however, but they are similar. The real distinction is that a mission statement describes the objective but isn't necessarily inspirational. A vision statement is exactly that. So the purpose of a vision statement is to define the organization's purpose, goals, and aspirations. And these statements are designed to be uplifting and inspiring. They're timeless and often remain the same even when strategy changes. And I think that's a critical piece of it. Because things will change, and sometimes the world changes even if we don't. And we have to be able to have something that's a sufficient driver and a motivator to keep us on track no matter what. So some examples of why vision that are still operating today would be somebody like Amazon as an example, an online retailer. And their vision, and I'm quoting their, is to be Earth's most customer-centric company where customers can find and discover anything they might want to buy online at the lowest possible prices. Now, any of us that have had an experience with Amazon would agree that that's more likely than not exactly what they're accomplishing. I mean, they can get you just about anything. IKEA is another good example. And IKEA's vision is to create a better everyday life for the many people that are out there. The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is one that I particularly love. It's a nonprofit, and their vision is for the United States to be a humane community in which all animals are treated with respect and kindness. You know, if anybody's ever watched those commercials on television, I can't watch them without my eyes moisting up because I think, you know, the animals are so much at our mercy and really don't have a whole lot of control of their lives, and the treatment that some people give them is unbelievable. They get help from communities and organizations, because that why vision is so powerful. And the people that get involved in that kind of an organization, they put their heart and souls in it. And another more recent one that a lot of us see a lot about on television is the Wounded Warriors. And that actually started about a dozen years ago, and it was moved by stories that some of the wounded veteran service members were telling and living, frankly, when they came back from the war in Afghanistan and Iraq in the early part of the 2000s. And those vets and people who watched them come back were willing to do anything because of the struggles that those poor guys and soldiers and gals went through, and just trying to put some sort of a life together to be able to even function in sort of the most rudimentary of ways. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the early visions, why visions, and some of them didn't even know what they were doing. They didn't know them as why visions in that time, but Henry Ford was one of them. His vision was that every man should be able to drive one of his cars, and there were different motivators for why, but he thought that, and in fact, he didn't succeed at the first two attempts, and that's not a well-known fact for some unless you're a student of Henry Ford, but he actually failed. And when he finally got the third version of his automobile empire up and running, he found some obstacles in that one that he really hadn't even expected. So we're going to step back for just a second and ask one more time why a why vision is so important. And it is that important because it is the quality, the thing that carries you past all the obstacles that any business will face. And I'm sure there are those in the audience that have gone through who knows what, and no matter what the obstacles and challenges were in their life, they weren't going to quit. And I know I personally have gone through some difficult challenges in my life. So there's a lot of successes, but there were a couple of, I'm not going to call them failures because I learned from them, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't wish them on my worst enemy. So once you have that why vision, it really does become a labor of love. And the why in Ford's vision was his desire to more efficiently move people from one point to the other. Car was just a way to get it there. It wasn't that he loved building cars. It was the fact that he wanted to truly be able to be transformative in the form of the automobile. And so, and Edison is another one. If you think about what we're doing right here, if we didn't have the electricity that we're all hooked up to in one form or the other, that came from Edison's forays into trying to figure out how he could light the world. He had 1,000 failures, as everybody's probably heard, and he actually looked at those failures, not as failures, but learning what doesn't work. And that's a heck of a perspective. I saw a documentary not long ago about Edison. It was amazing what he really did. He had some successes at other things, and he was an inventor that made his whole life about making that work. And, of course, when he finally did get it to work, what it did is it turned this world from some poor lighting in the daytime, except when you're outside. I mean, can you imagine New York City without lights? And that's exactly where in the city of New York was where he was at when he was working on this. The lights came from smelly, dirty, stinky old kerosene lamps, et cetera, but nothing was going to keep him from that. And so let's take a step back to Henry Ford and look at the obstacle that he had. What he found out that the automobile was a fantastic idea, except as soon as the weather turned bad, it would get stuck in the mud, and then pretty quick the horses and wagons were passing him up. Can you imagine the laughter and the ridicule that he probably was subjected to when he'd be stuck in a road in the mud in that car and horses were walking past him? In fact, he was so frustrated at that point in life when somebody asked him what his customers really wanted. He said, if I'd asked them what they really wanted, they would have said faster horses. So there's a man that his stick-to-itiveness and his determination gave us one of the greatest inventions of our time and allowed us to move in a different way that we could never, most of the people of his generation never even considered. And that's not the only one. How about Kennedy's vision of putting a man on the moon? And that opened up so many different things that it's hard to even envision. I mean, it's orange juice and what they call it, Tang, I think was the name of it, for those of you that are at least my age. And that came out of trying to find a way to feed the people who were on the spaceships. I think one of the most powerful ones that we're all engaged in, again, in some form, is Steve Jobs. And his vision was not to make computers, not to do all that stuff. What he was trying to do was to empower the people of this world to be able to sort of be freed up and be able to help themselves. And he didn't really have any specific ideas in his mind per se, but look what we can do as a result of that. We've got an entire world full of information, most of it good, on Wikipedia. And anything you want in this world, you can probably find on that internet. And it just opened up the ability to use calculators. That all came out of the computer industry. And so the benefits from that are just on and on and on. And it's also a differentiator. Most people that are in business find how they structure the business. They build it around the how and the what, and not the why. And I'll give you what I think is probably the easiest example to relate to, and that's something as simple as building a house. The house is the what, the building is the how, but what's the why? The why in that whole equation is what it does for the family that occupies that home. I love watching television and seeing somebody who's three generations or four generations of their families have lived in the exact same home. It's not my profile, although I do live in the same city. And that's by choice. There was a time when I couldn't wait to get out of here, but ultimately it became by choice. And the why is what it does for that family and the memories it builds and the bonds that it creates that are lasting for many people. And so what a home builder really does, if he can quantify, he or she can quantify or identify it, they really build dreams for people, and they build a lifestyle and a way of life. And when you can tell people that what I do is going to make a difference in your life and show them that why, for example, in the case of the Wounded Warriors or in the case of the SPCA and what they do for animals, then you've really got something. So let me talk to you just a little bit about how we go about that. And there is a process for it, and it's a process that every single one of you can master, and it's not rocket science. It's a matter of putting it down and asking yourself, does what I'm doing, what are the real benefits of what I'm doing for somebody? It isn't the fact that somebody sells me a car. Who cares? There's more cars than you can shake a stick at out there. It's the fact that it gives me the ability to be from point A to point B in a very short period of time, and I can spend all the rest of that time doing something very differently. For example, how about an airplane? It's in some ways freedom. It's liberating. It gives you a better use and control of your life. So let's talk about the process. The process of creating a why vision is to write down a brief list of the products or services that it provides and what it really does for somebody. And for example, a house would be a good place to start if there's anybody that's looking at building. You look at something as simple as baking cookies, Mrs. Fields cookies. I mean, it wasn't about just great cookies. People love those things. And what they got out of it, it's hard to explain what you get out of a really good piece of cake or a cookie. But you can tell it's really important because you can see the lights. I love my wife when she eats candy. I can watch it. I mean, her face lights up in this sense of glee and happiness. That it's really, especially if it's caramel, it's hard to describe the why. The second step is to record those benefits and find out whether they're tangible or intangible. That doesn't make any difference. For example, I've got a client that builds cabinets, and I asked him to do exactly that for his business. And what he came back with, he's telling me what the why is, and he came back with the idea. He says, I'm building cabinets for homes, but he says, what I really do, if I get it right, he says, the people that love to cook and love their kitchens, he says, this brings them great joy and happiness, and that's exactly what it does. It's not about storing pots and pans and knives. And some of that goes into the equation, but it's really that joy to somebody who loves cooking and loves to have a great setup in order to be able to cook. And then write down your philosophy. What do you think of the ethical standards of your business, and what does it need to do in order to maintain social responsibilities? Some people, for example, you know, I know authors and writers who donate a good chunk or a lot of what they do to some worthy cause. Many businesses have begun to realize that, you know, part of what I do, once you get all the money you need, then you start having to start asking, well, what do I do with the rest of it? And part of that is about being able to help other people. And then the next step, next part of it is to, you know, to find other companies that hopefully in your industry that have that do similar things and see how they look at this thing. I mean, you know, your why vision doesn't necessarily have to be the only one in the world. In fact, I would submit that it's more likely than not isn't going to be. But it doesn't mean you can't learn from others. And that's the good thing about what we have in today's world. We don't have to figure it all out for ourselves. That's why we're doing what we're doing here today. I love these types of things because of the information we get to share and exchange here. And once you've done that, then what you want to do is craft a single sentence of 20 or 25 words that explains the real value of your business and what it provides to the customer. And you work that again and again till you make sure that you get it exactly right so that the next time somebody asks you what you do, you don't say, well, I bake cookies. Whoopee. You know, I bake cookies that are out of this world and you know, whatever that particular why is. And then you go back and examine it to say, is this really true or am I just kidding myself? I mean, honestly, people are going to know right away that your why is not your why if you've just concocted something up as some want to do in order to be able to, you know, you can't be, the why can't be manipulative. It has to be inspirational. Okay. And so, you know, it's quite obvious to see that what happens with us is it creates a passion in us. And frankly, it makes those tough days that we have in our life doable. It means that no matter what's going on in this world, and all of us have, if you have a business, you have to do an awful lot of things you'd rather not do in order to get to be able to do the things you love doing. To watch that sparkle in a business client's eyes when they get that aha moment, when it finally dawns on them what I'm talking about, is, I don't know how you put a price on it. To me, it's a reward for having lived quite a few years and being given that priceless opportunity to share it with others. I'll never see the end result of it for a great deal of them, but I know that my life has had purpose and I've made a difference because of it. You know, and I'm going to close here. We're just about to the end of this, but I'm going to give you just a couple of other thoughts. And I believe that if you build your business and your life around a why vision that encompasses your gifts and talents in a way that benefits others, you'll never work another day in your life. I know I no longer work. I do things I love. And I'm going to quote one of the old masters at motivation and having the right kind, Napoleon Hill, who most of you have probably heard of him, even if you haven't necessarily read him. One of his statements says that if you cherish your visions and your dreams as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. Cherish your visions and your dreams as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. And when you get a why that's strong enough, there isn't. You will be prepared to move heaven and earth in order to be able to accomplish your why vision, and you'll never have to work again. I want to thank all of you for listening, and I hope that something I've said today will make a difference in your life, and that's my why.